there's a peace that's like an absence of noise. But that's kind of tranquility. That's not necessarily peace. But then there's a peace that goes beyond the absence of noise. That's what the scriptures call the peace that passes all understanding. And if the person has that peace within him, then when he speaks the word peace, he speaks it from his soul. Did you ever consider how it was that Jesus had the power to heal people? Now, it's interesting how he healed people and how the churches try to heal people today. Curtis and I, as he said, grew up in the Mormon church. We laid our hands on people's heads and we commanded them and we went through a ceremony, blessed them in the name of Jesus Christ, and we went through these different things and asked God to heal them and so on. And then other churches like Oral Roberts says, command you in the name of Jesus Christ to be healed. You know, talks like that, you know. They shout it out really loud and the audience is, kind of wakes them up in a way, you know, that startles them, so it kind of makes them think something should be happening. Yeah, scares the devil right out of them, huh? But the way he healed was a little bit, was quite a bit different than the churches are teaching healing, the ones that do. In the fact that he had the healing within him. He had the complete soul contact, complete contact with the spirit and soul within him. And because he had that within him, he could look at the same thing within everybody else. Because the Christ that was within him is also in us. Now, do you remember what he said after he healed somebody? What did he say? Did he say, God has healed you? Did he ever say that? No. Did he say, I have healed you? What did he say healed him? Right. Wayne said it. He says, well, congratulations, pretty much. Your faith has made you whole. He didn't say God made you whole. He didn't say I made you whole. He didn't say the name of Christ made you whole. He said, your faith has made you whole. Now, what was it that stimulated that faith? For some reason, that faith didn't come along until Jesus came along and did something. But what did he do that stimulated that faith? What he did was when he looked at that other person, he saw within them the same thing that was within him. In other words, the manifestation of the Christ is more than just one man. There was a great man that lived in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And he was purely put forth what the Christ is supposed to be. But he was only, as the Bible says, the first of many brethren. The first of many, it says. And so we are supposed to be like him. And what he did is he kind of advanced people along and kind of made them like him by looking at them and seeing him projected inside of them. And he looked at them and he saw the Christ within them. And then he spoke to the Christ within his brother. And he says, be ye healed. And so in a way it was their faith, because it was the Christ within them that was manifesting. And they had a belief and they accepted that manifestation. And by this power, they were healed. Now, this type of healing can appear on many different levels. It can appear on levels of relationships. There are many relationships that are sick, that are ill, that aren't getting along well. They look at each other and they only see the worst in each other. And this is also kind of a cause of physical disease. One of the things that makes us sick is when we start seeing less than the Christ, less than perfection in ourselves. When we start seeing less than perfection in ourselves, then we don't see the Christ anymore. And what Jesus did, he come along and he looked at somebody that was seeing less than the Christ within them, and he saw the Christ in them. And he projected that image to their mind, and they saw what he was seeing, and then they were healed. And so this can happen time and time again. We can project the image of the Christ in the other person. If we have somebody in our life that's really irritating us, we can project the image of the Christ within them. And if we do that, they'll be affected, unless they're like completely on the dark path. We don't meet very many people completely on the dark path. A person completely on the dark path has severed himself from the Christ consciousness completely. And there's only a very small handful, and the people you think are them aren't usually them. They're very slick. And many of them are in positions of power. But the normal guy in your life, the next door neighbor that you just hate and can't stand, he's still got the Christ name somewhere. Guy that borrowed your lawnmower and didn't return it. The guy that's always flirting with your wife or your girlfriend. He's still got the Christ within him. And he can still be stimulated. Everybody can be stimulated except this handful of the what we call the dark brothers, or the dark brothers' acolytes that are here upon the earth. But it's best to consider everybody that you meet having the Christ within them, because the true dark brotherhood and their representatives are very small in number. Their influence is great, but the actual people that are manipulating things on the dark side are very, very small. And these people are completely severed from the Christ consciousness. They do the severing themselves. They've rejected it so much as they're completely numb to it. And so they're incapable of responding to love and light and truth. Yeah, they're asleep. They're numb to the Christ consciousness. There's a handful of people that are. But when you meet them, they are not who you think they are usually. They're usually different. I mean, like I say, the people you meet in your life that's most irritating, they probably still got a bright center of the Christ consciousness within them, you know. Because almost everybody you meet, if you get close enough to them, they will be irritating. Even old Curtis over here is capable of irritating me, once a year maybe.
Close enough is how many miles?
Yeah. But you pick anybody. You pick the most pleasant person that you can imagine. Say some minister somewhere, or some rock star, or some movie star, or somebody that you think is the nicest person on the planet. Like Tom Cruise, he just looked like such a nice guy. You know, if you were to spend a month in a relationship with Tom Cruise, and in close quarters, you'd probably think he was the worst son of a bitch you ever met in your life. You probably wouldn't be able to stand him after a while. That's one thing I learned from going on a mission for the Mormon Church. Let's see, Curtis went on a mission, and Wayne, can you believe he was once a missionary? I mean, you would never believe it, would you? He went to Australia. When we were young, we all went on these missions, and you were in close quarters with a companion 24 hours a day for 2 years. And when you got a new companion about once every 2 months. And when you got a new companion, you were so happy because the old companion, man, he was like the devil incarnate by the time you spent 2 months with him 24 hours a day. And you get a new guy, you think, oh, this guy, a new guy, he seems pretty nice. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Well, about a week, you think, well, he's a nice guy except for this one thing. 2 weeks, he's still pretty nice, but he got these three things. After a month, you think, man, I can't wait to get rid of this guy. Man, what made me think he was a nice guy? He's the most irritating guy ever. He's more irritating than the last guy was. And after 2 months, you're so glad to get rid of the guy. I tell you, the nicest guy I met, I had about six companions or so on my mission. The nicest guy I met on my mission, he only had one fault. And that is he sang all day. And I was on my mission 64, 66, and I was a big Beatles fan. I love the Beatles. First thing I knew, I was in trouble with this guy. The Beatles were giving a concert 10 miles away. I says, "Can we go see the Beatles, please? I'll do anything." He was my senior companion, which meant that what he said, go. He was the boss of the relationship. He says, "Beatles, they're straight from the hell." I mean, they just belch forth right from the devil himself. I says, "Please, just for me. I mean, we got to go. I mean, it's my only chance to see him." He says, "No, we can't go, sir." But anyway, he sang these old Rodgers and Hammerstein songs.